friends, and welcome to episode 61 of Did You Bring the Hummus podcast. I'm Kimberly, your host, and I'm super excited to be here with you today. Did You Bring the Hummus is a podcast to help you go vegan. Most importantly, we'll talk about how to embrace this meaningful decision with fervor and fun. Episodes post every Monday on your favorite podcast app. Before we get started, I have one very important question for you. Did you bring the hummus? Today, I am joined by Angelica Williams, a vegan luxury hospitality consultant and founder of Green Luxury Living. Angelica is passionate about curating unique experiences that are kind to fellow humans, animals, and the planet. What started out as a blog about green living and style flourished into consulting services for the hospitality industry, offering tailored solutions to elevate the experience of the contemporary guest. As an avid traveler and vegan foodie, Angelica found herself struggling to find vegan offerings and experiences for herself and her family to enjoy. Either the experience would fall short due to lack of awareness from the staff, or simply was unavailable. It was disappointing and frustrating, especially when she knew there was a simple way to create such experiences. If only these establishments knew how and what exactly the modern guest is looking for. As a vegan luxury hospitality consultant, Angelica combines her experience in conference and event planning with her passion and expertise in creating curated gatherings to help her clients achieve their goals of attracting, retaining, and wowing their plant-based, vegan, and allergy-conscious guests. Whether it's reviewing menus and wine lists, providing kitchen and service training to staff in hotels, restaurants, and dining establishments, or evaluating meetings, events, and conference offerings, Angelica oversees all aspects of the contemporary guest experience to ensure it meets and exceeds their expectations. Angelica holds a Bachelor of Science degree in Business Administration and Marketing, and she is trained in high-impact hospitality consulting. As part of Green Luxury Living's commitment to creating a more sustainable world, services encompass waste reduction techniques and eco-friendly products as much as possible. Green Luxury Living also donates one tree to Trees for the Future with each client project. Angelica's services are offered online or locally in Jacksonville, Florida, USA, and surrounding areas. From her expertise in vegan hospitality to luxury vegan products to navigating the holidays as a vegan, Angelica reminds us that we can live a luxurious life while doing good for the animals, the planet, and ourselves. Hey, Angelica, thanks for joining me. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Kimberly. I'm super excited to be here.
Me too. I'm so looking forward to this conversation. So as we always start here, Did You Bring the Hummus? Tell us about your vegan journey.
Sure. So I've been vegan now for 13 years, actually, this month.
Yay. Congratulations. And
thank you. Yeah. So it wasn't something I ever expected, I would say, in my life, because I grew up in a very meat-centered culture. I grew up in Brazil. And so, you know, all the steakhouses you see is actually like part of my culture, where I came from. So it was very, you know, concentrated in that. And that was never under my radar to ever stop eating meat. And then 13 years ago, I was watching the news in the morning, and they were talking about a factory farm for egg production that was being fined for cruelty. I remember thinking, like, what happens in an egg farm that, you know, leads to cruelty? And it just sounded so bizarre to me, and I couldn't, like, put two and two together, just, you know, thinking about it, like, I can't tell that it makes sense. And so I started looking into it, and then I learned about what really happens behind, you know, egg production. And I was like, okay, I can't eat eggs anymore. And then from there I was like, well, what else do I not know? Like, what else is happening that I have no idea that I'm consuming blindly and might not be as it seems or as I thought it was? And so I started learning about, you know, factory farms and where meat comes from and all those other things. And, you know, those first couple of months I was going through this rabbit hole of searching and watching videos and crying and all this stuff, you know, all that. So at that point, I basically stopped eating most meat. I was still like dealing with some eating cheese and milk. Then I learned more about that. And then 2 months after that news report, I went completely vegan and haven't looked back. So here we are.
That's amazing. Oh my gosh. So did you find it easy? Was it difficult? Like, how did your family react? Since you mentioned you came from a culture where eating meat is really common, really just kind of the expectation.
Yeah. So it wasn't easy because at that point, you know, all I could find was tofu or bean burgers. Mm. So it wasn't as, you know, easy to just go to the store and get the Impossible Burger or whatever. You know, it wasn't like that, or great cheese that melts now, all those things that we have now. So, and then not knowing what to do, because I'm like, what do I eat? You know, so I'll say in the beginning, my meals were not very good. I didn't know what I was doing, but doing my best. And in fact, a month later was Thanksgiving, because this happened in October. And I cooked my first vegan Thanksgiving. And it turned out amazing. So, you know, in a way, I kind of progressed quickly in finding like good recipes and finding that, oh, there are vegan chefs out there that have written cookbooks and, you know, just really digging into this, because it was a whole new world for me. I never thought, you know, or heard about these things before. I would say my family had a really hard time with it, because it's just not, you know, something they're ever saw. So it was definitely not an easy thing for them to accept, I would say. But that would be more of my extended family. My husband was very supportive, and he actually went vegan with me.
Nice.
And so we started our journey together. So that made everything really easy.
Yeah. That's so sweet.
I know. He was very supportive, and we were both eating badly for those few months. But then, yeah, it just made all the difference too, I will say, because it probably would have been, you know, harder if I was trying to navigate everything. And, you know, the reason I wasn't eating meat is not because I didn't like it. So, you know, if I had seen food there, I don't know, it would have been harder, I feel, in the beginning. But I just knew the direction at that point that I wanted to go. And, you know, having him there with me definitely helped a lot. So yeah, was lucky with that.
Yeah, the support is so important. And, you know, now I think people where they can't get that support, they're not finding that support in their immediate family who they live with. Now there's like this community online, but 13 years ago, that wasn't so common. I think it was starting to get there, but it wasn't so common. And that's so wonderful.
I ended up looking for like vegetarian, vegan groups around, and I did find one, like a vegetarian society, and they had meetups every month. And so I immediately flocked to them, and because you really need that support, I feel, in the beginning, everything is just so, you know, you're so focused on doing this. At least I was, you know, I knew I wasn't going to go back. Mm-hmm. And having to deal with people at work, like, what do you mean? You know, you're not eating this anymore. You know, it was like, all kinds of situations where I would have to constantly explain myself. And in the beginning, you don't really know how to answer all those questions. You get like, oh, what about protein, you know, and all those things. And it was so intimidating, I feel, to be around people that didn't get it and didn't understand why I was doing it. And so having the support from, you know, my husband and from other people in these groups that were already in this journey much longer than I was, gave me permission to be like, it's okay, you know, even if I don't know the answers right now, it's okay. I can, I know I'm doing the right thing. And even if I can't answer these questions, you know, I don't have to engage. Mm-hmm. I know that now, but in the beginning, it was a little harder to, it's like, what do I say? How do I move on from this? But definitely helps. And I think now people have an easier time finding groups, hopefully, and, you know, support communities. And even if it's not in person, you know, many times you can find online groups as well. So I think any kind of support you can find is definitely helpful.
Yeah. You're talking about, you know, at work and people being like, well, you're not eating this anymore. It reminded me of something I hadn't thought about in so long. So I went vegetarian in July of 2001. I started a new job 2 weeks later, and I felt so like I had no idea how to cook. And so I was just eating a lot of like pasta and cheese. I knew that if I started a job and was like, oh, I'm vegetarian, I expected there to be pushback or like, aren't you weird? Or, you know, and so I didn't, I was afraid to say like, I just went vegetarian because I thought I'd get, oh, well, you're not going to stick with that. Even though these people didn't know me at this point, but I didn't want that. So I remember kind of like, no, definitely lying about it. And I was like, yeah, I've been vegetarian for like 6 months. Even though it's only been 2 weeks, because I didn't want people that I was just meeting to tell me that I couldn't do it. And, I can't believe I hadn't thought about that in so, so long. So they were that's weird, you know, cause it was 2001. I'm like, oh, that's weird. But they didn't really give me a hard time about it. And then you also mentioned the cheese. The first time I tried a vegan cheese was the same time, like I was just experimenting with a lot of stuff. And so 2001, vegan cheese, not good. I tried to make nachos and I, you know, so I got like these nice tortilla chips and had like beans and salsa. And I had this block of yellow vegan cheese. And wow. I sliced it really thin and put it on there. And I'm like, put it in the oven and I can smell the tortillas are starting to warm. And then all of a sudden there's like this really terrible plastic smell.
Oh no.
And I open the door to the oven and the cheese is like a bubble. And it literally looks, I don't know if you remember this. It was like a toy when we were kids. It was like you had a little straw and there was like a little bubble that you would put on the end of the straw and you would blow it.
Oh, yes, and, yes.
Yeah. And it would like just become this plastic. That's exactly what the cheese looked like.
Oh, my gosh. So would you eat it?
No, it went right in the garbage. Yeah, I think I probably ordered like some Chinese takeout or something then.
Yeah. Cheese has come a long way.
It has. Sure. Aren't we lucky?
Yes, we are. It's a great time to be vegan right now.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, it's so much better now. So easy. I have so many cool things I want to talk to you about. All right. Yeah. Let's go first into like kind of the work that you do and this, as you were discovering veganism and learning about it, you know, you were looking for really some like just finding a way to be luxurious and sustainable and meeting the vegan requirements. Like what does that look like to be luxury and vegan?
I think, you know, luxury has sometimes a bad connotation away in the minds of people. You know, people think of waste, people think of unnecessary things, or I don't know, snobbish people. You know, there's all these ideas that can go associated with this word. And at the same time, you know, it doesn't have to be this. It can actually be some related to quality. It can be related to comfort. It can be related to experiences, you know, because even you hear people say, you know, time is luxury. The things that are important to you are luxuries, you know, so it's not necessarily related to money and things like that, but it's about the things that are important to you. I remember early in my journey trying to figure out, you know, what does it mean to be vegan and how do I, you know, do I have to label myself? You know, there's all these ideas in the beginning because, okay, I'm changing my diet, but I realized that it was much more than that. And I started learning about what it looks like in terms of lifestyle, and, you know, decided to make some changes about, okay, what I'm wearing, when I'm purchasing things. And then I started learning more about sustainability and where those things come from, how much people get paid when certain things get made, where materials coming from, you know, am I causing deforestation because I'm purchasing this furniture? Or, you know, so there's like all these things that started to build just from the fact that I went vegan. And one of the things that I encountered was, you know, I see it now, you know, look inside, I can see how people, you know, they have their own journey as vegans, obviously. Some people will identify more with a certain type of the lifestyle than others. And for me, I had a hard time when I would hear about, you know, having to live in a small house in order to be sustainable or to be, you know, a true person that cares for the environment or the animals, you know, those things. And there's a lot of messages that were conflicting with what I believed. I felt that, you know, maybe there had to be another way because I like to have experiences. I would like to go to have a, you know, a decent size house where I don't have to like be, you know, with my family and my pets and everybody like in a tiny room. Like I could never imagine living in a tiny house, you know, because there's just too much going on. And so like all these things, I was like, okay, so does that mean I have to give up things in order to call myself either vegan or to call myself a person that cares about sustainability or, you know, those things. And the more I dug into this, I realized that no, you know, you can create your own journey. You can create your own lifestyle based on the things that are important to you. And so for me, when I talk about, you know, elegance and luxury and experiences and travel and all these things, it really is about doing the things that are important to you. So like those things are important to me. I like to travel. I like to try different foods. I love going out to eat, you know, those things. And that, yes, that is luxury, but, you know, for some other people, that's nothing. Like, so I think it depends on, you know, your definition of what is important to you.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. Because I think so often people hear luxury and, you know, like you said, it means expensive or wasteful. And it really, I mean, it can be, but yes, it doesn't have to be. And I love that you're saying like, you can create your own journeys. You know, I too think about, you know, this, the types of vegans that people expect to encounter. I feel like people expect me to be in like pants with a lot of pockets and like hiking boots and, you know, cause I'm always talking about like, I love birds and I'm always talking about being out in nature, but like, I don't want to wear that. And I honestly, like, I like hiking, but I also don't.
Yeah.
And sometimes it feels like, do I have to do these things to be able to be part of the club? And yeah, we don't. As long as we're not using and abusing and exploiting animals, like, we're meeting the requirement. We can do it however we want to do it.
Exactly. And, you know, it comes down to, you know, just like you said, what is important to you and how you want to carry your life. Because a lot of times, you know, we have to look at things and decide that maybe the way that things have always been done, you know, like luxury, this idea that, you know, it's all about using fur or leather, or, you know, those are the things that matter, or fine dining is lobster and steak, you know, I feel like that's the old definition, because as we move into a more conscious planet, you know, people are starting to become more and more aware of what we're doing to the planet and, mm-hmm. you know, where we're going if we keep doing the things the same way we've always done. And as people become more aware of these things and decide, okay, you know, there's something that, sure, corporations need to do, but also individually, there are things we can do. Mm-hmm. Collectively, we start to change this definition of what is luxury, what is important in society. Do we look at people that are eating lobster and steak as, oh, I want to be like them? Or maybe they need to do something different. And maybe, you know, fine dining is about the creativity of the chef when it comes to, you know, putting all these beautiful vegetables and other things together, you know, that becomes a new luxury. Or being creative with the materials that we use, you know, so no longer using animal skins and furs, but instead being creative with, you know, apple and like all kinds of, you know, amazing materials that they, like a cacti, cactus or
pineapple, you know, mushrooms.
Yeah. So, you know, that is so, I feel like that's the future and the evolution of creativity of humankind. And also, you know, a way to save ourselves, save the planet, because as we move on to this new world, hopefully, you know, people will look back and be like, oh yeah, we used to do that. And that used to be considered, you know, what was, you know, the thing to do, but we know better now, you know? So that's where I'm hoping society is going. And that's where I'm hoping that the future is moving towards. So.
Yeah. That sounds like a beautiful future. I hope so too. You know, the fine dining, it's been so long since I've been to probably the nicest restaurant I've ever been to is Blossom in New York City.
Oh, nice.
And I remember it was years and years ago. I think it had only been open for a short period of time when I went. I remember that like every bite I took, I was like, whoa, I've never had food like this. Mm-hmm. And I follow 11 Madison Park. Are you familiar with? Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. And I follow them on Instagram and I'm like, oh, one day I'm going to eat at this restaurant.
For sure.
They are
a wonderful story as well.
Yeah. I
followed how they changed. Yeah. The entire thing. Yeah. To plant-based.
Yep. I know. Isn't that incredible? And you watch the videos they post and the menus they talk about, and it really is so creative. And they, you know, it's just so good. And you can expand so much more. You know, I've seen so many episodes of, like, you know, Gordon Ramsay's various shows, and I feel sad. Well, of course I feel sad about all the animals that are used throughout those episodes, but anytime I've seen it, I also feel sad for these, you know, home cooks and the chefs that are on, because I feel like they're so restricted in what they're doing, you know?
Yeah.
And when you have just this abundance of like hundreds and hundreds of plants that are available, like, imagine what they could do with that.
Absolutely. You know, there's, and that's what I'm talking about. Like, chefs usually tend to be, you know, creative, and they like to experiment, and there's no better way than, you know, a plant-based chef to experiment and create amazing things, because like you said, it can be completely like mind-blowing, some of the things that they can do. And and it's about, you know, it's not like the quantity, like, oh, that giant, you know, thing of steak. No, it's about like trying something, because fine dining is all, you know, it's usually like a small portion, but it's because, you know, there's so much time and effort that goes into putting that together, and thought, and in the presentation, and like everything. And so you don't need a ton. You just like, and you remember that forever, right? Because it's an experience. And so, I think that's a great way to, you know, show how plant-based and other types of dining, like, you know, just vegan dining can be the way of the future, I guess I should say.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, you know, even when I think back to when I was still, before I went vegetarian, you know, and you hear it with a lot of people, right? There are certain animals that you eat, and then there are certain animals you don't eat. And when someone is eating an animal you don't eat, you're almost like, oh, why would you eat that? That doesn't make any sense to me. Yeah. And when you get into, you move into veganism, there's none of that anymore. I've never seen a vegetable or a fruit where, and I mean, there's some ugly fruit out there. I've never seen a vegetable or a fruit where I went, oh my God, oh, why would somebody eat that? And okra exists and I still have not said that.
Oh yeah. Oh goodness. Yeah. No, for sure. It's yeah, the portion of like speciesism, I guess, you know, of people. I hear that a lot. And people are like, can you believe it? You know, they're eating that. I was like, well, you know, for you it's strange, but for them it's like you eating a pig or a cow, you know, and most people have a really hard time understanding that. But yes, it just opens up like, okay, none of that, you know.
Eat everything.
That's yes, so great. Exactly. It's just the possibilities are endless. So
yeah. So you don't just do, and we'll cover the whole thing, but first, like, I realize I kind of skipped over, you have this within your business is a focus on vegan hospitality. Can you explain what that is and what you do with it?
Yes. So as a vegan hospitality consultant, I help, you know, so hospitality businesses, it could be restaurants, it could be hotels, it could be a spa, and basically help them cater to the vegan guest or the flexitarian guest or the allergy conscious guest. And so for a restaurant, for example, I will help them create a menu and label it properly, because that's also, you know, a big thing. And then it can go, you know, from something as simple as that, a menu evaluation, to something really intense and like full on consulting, which would be helping in the kitchen to create processes of, you know, and recipes and maybe substitutions. Sometimes, you know, businesses can save money by going more the vegan route because they can cross use ingredients that they might be, you know, not doing. So for example, sometimes they will be using chicken stock on sauces and then have the vegetable stock for something else. Instead, they could just use the vegetable stock across all the sauces and then be able to serve that dish for everybody, you know, not just the vegan customer, then not just the traditional customer. So there's that. I could also help them with staff training. So it's always frustrating, you know, if you go to a restaurant and you ask about vegan options, or you ask, is this vegan? Can you make this vegan or something like that? And you get an answer like, oh, it's gluten free. Or, you know, or they mention, oh, yeah, you can use the honey vinaigrette. And I was like, oh, you know, so then you'd lose confidence immediately that this place is actually going to be able to provide the meal you're looking for. Yeah. So, you know, training the staff as to what that looks like to, you know, for what is the vegan customer looking for and what is vegan, what is not vegan. And that can include sometimes a grocery store tour. So looking around items, because if a chef is not used to using certain products, you know, if they've never used tempeh or tofu, or maybe they've never made bacon from carrots or rice paper, you know, those things can be different. And so that can be another way of introducing them to different ingredients and how they can use them in their kitchens. And then, you know, they could go from there, or I could help them also. I'm not a chef, but I could help them develop the recipes because, you know, I've been cooking vegan for 13 years now. Mm-hmm. So kind of know a thing or two about what to use and not to use. And also I've been trained in this. So there's a little bit of that as well. But and then it could be, you know, go from there to actually a full promotion of we're revealing, you know, our vegan menu and then creating a promotion around it, creating buzz around it to bring people to try it, and then they can test it, you know, for a while and see how the restaurant does. You know, once that happens, I could help them either continue to consult later on if they wanted to add more things, or depending what they wanted to do, or different promotions or events, and that can go also for, you know, events. It can go so in a hotel as well. If it's not food related, it could be related to the linens or, you know, feather pillows or, you know, finding alternatives for all those things. So making sure the soaps are not, you know, are cruelty free. And the, so it could encompass, you know, basically anything in the hospitality business that you can imagine. I know like the focus a lot of times is in the food, because, you know, that's where people are looking for. And usually in a hotel, if you have those provisions of for vegans, chances are your restaurant will also have options for them. So that could be like a full package. Mm. And I can't think of something more attractive than finding a place that has vegan food that's actually like been thought out, you know, not just a salad or no dessert or fruit as dessert. And a meal out of sides, you know, I can't. Yeah. Or it, so finding a place that actually has meals for you that actually has thought through this process is something that a lot of businesses are starting to realize that they need to provide because people more and more, and it's not just vegans that are looking for this. A lot of times, you know, vegan couples might not be both vegans, you know, so you might be at a restaurant and your partner can eat whatever they want. And then you're over here eating. So, you know, whatever. So it's not going to work out that way. You're not going to pick that place, right? Because you don't want to be suffering.
Exactly.
By watching them eat whatever. And like, we want dessert too, you know, vegans love dessert. And it's usually some of those things that just get kind of like looked over, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah. So that's the idea of helping them actually cater to the vegan and flexitarian customer.
Oh, that's awesome. I was recently on vacation just up in Massachusetts, so nowhere exotic, but the restaurant that we stayed in, the hotel we stayed in, we were exhausted the first day we got there because we drove up, and we were like, let's just check out what room service has to offer. And because we knew they had a restaurant downstairs, but we didn't really feel like being in the mix. And so I'm looking at the menu and my only option was a hummus plate. And now I love hummus and I love dipping vegetables in it and pita. So this isn't the worst option that could have been presented to me, except it got to the room and it was like the carrots were rubbery and the cucumbers were like watery and like hard and soft at the same time.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And the pita definitely was not fresh. And, you know, this was not a, like the hummus plate was like $16. It wasn't even like a cheap. It was so disappointing. So they very clearly need a vegan hospitality consultant.
Yes.
Bad.
For sure. Yeah. Give them my card.
Yeah. Oh, it was, yeah, thankfully, you know, where we were, there were lots of vegan options for the rest of the time, but what a disappointment.
Yeah. And it's so frustrating, you know, to get to a place, especially like you just got to your hotel, you just want to relax and order something to eat, you know, and hummus is great, but it's like an appetizer, you know, it's not really a meal.
Exactly. You know,
when you're hungry. So yeah, it's a missed opportunity really for this hotel, because besides you know, stumbling maybe on this menu, many people will be looking at the menu ahead of time to see what they have to offer. And so sometimes there's the idea that it's like, oh, nobody asks for vegan food here, you know, but it's because they're already looking at your menu.
Yeah.
And deciding, oh, we can't go there.
Right. That's true. Most of the time, you know, we're looking at the menu ahead of time. Right. And, you know, my husband's vegan too. So we're not, you know, I wasn't in mixed company or anything, but yeah, they're definitely, anytime we're going out with other people, always looking for the restaurant that has options for us too, because we don't want to sit there and eat a salad while the people we're out with are having an appetizer, dinner, and dessert. Because at this hotel, we would have ordered dessert with room service if it had been available. and they would have made more money.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And usually, you know, that's what happens is the vegan friend or the vegan person in the group is the one deciding where everyone is eating because they, you know, need to find something to eat. Yeah. So they definitely hold the veto vote in terms of where everybody's going to go eat. So yeah, definitely want to have the vegan options and not just the hummus.
Exactly. As delicious as it can be.
Yes.
For sure. So you mentioned a little earlier about Thanksgiving, your first Thanksgiving as a vegan, and it came out so well. I want to talk about holidays too, and entertaining at home. How can we do that and have it be, let's tie all your stuff in, have it be beautiful, luxurious, vegan, delicious, amazing, impressive for vegan and non-vegan family alike?
Yeah. So actually, I've been hosting Thanksgiving like for 20 years now.
Oh, wow.
And so the first years, you know, obviously I wasn't vegan, but once I started, I don't know why I just took on that, but I just loved it. And not something I grew up with, but was excited to take on the task. And so we still do. And I have, you know, friends that come every year changes, but so this is what I usually do. So when it comes to creating an event, you know, obviously I have the menu and I love saving menus. I love creating menus. And so I actually have all my menus from back in the day still, like how, and I look back and sometimes I bring some things back. So that's always fun to, you know, especially with holidays, to create traditions. So now we have certain dishes that are traditions and we bring them back, you know, because people are expecting them. And sometimes I try a new recipe and it's a flop. And it's like, okay, that's never coming back, you know, so make a note on that. So I would say, you know, obviously planning and figuring out what your family likes and what your guests like. If there's, you know, and obviously as vegans, we already have not using meat or other things, but sometimes people might have like a gluten allergy or something. So you might want to check with whoever's coming to make sure they can eat, you know, whatever you're making. And I usually try to, you know, since I've been doing it for so long, I don't use anything disposable. So having, you know, real plates and real silverware and napkins, cloth napkins and other things, I think is also helpful, obviously for the environment. You want to do that. And it also looks much prettier, much more elegant, I feel, than having a paper plate. And yes, I get it. You know, cleanup can be hard, but I think it's worth it. Same thing with glasses. So once I create the menu, my decorations, I would say, are not super eco-friendly. However, I've had them for a long time. So in a way, it's like, you know, there might be like some plastic things in there, or, but it's something that keeps coming back. So I feel that at the same time, if you are using things over and over, it's okay. My big thing about, you know, when it comes to sustainability and entertaining and decorating, I think it's more about buying something that you use once, you know, that I considered wasteful. But if it's something that you can use over and over, I think it's worth it, especially if it's something that, you know, depending how much you can afford to spend on it, sometimes you just want something. So why not, you know? So I go from selecting the menu and obviously vegan dishes. We usually like to do a vegan roast. Like, I don't make my own, but I buy the tofurkey roast. That's been our favorite. We've tried all kinds throughout the years. And I know people change. I'm sorry, not the tofurkey roast. Oh, that one's we tried before. It was the Gardein roast. I'm sorry. And, but you know, there's the Wellington roast. That's also very good. So there's, I don't know, I've tried several throughout the years, and the tofurkey one is actually pretty good too. So I would recommend that one as well. And then other things that we do is like, we don't buy bottled water. So, you know, I have jugs of water and vegan wine. That's another thing, you know, just be attention to the little details. And yeah, and just bring it all together by, you know, I spend like a few days ahead. So I prep everything I can ahead of time. So desserts usually get made. I make usually apple pie. And my husband makes this pumpkin tiramisu.
Ooh.
And yeah, it's from Chef Chloe. That was actually from our first vegan Thanksgiving. And it's still going strong. So people love that recipe. It's so good. So yeah, Chef Chloe was my big inspiration in the beginning for Thanksgiving recipes. But so yeah, so, you know, I prep as much as I can ahead of time. And then my husband has this Italian stuffing that he used to eat with his family, and it's all meat. So we made the transition, and now we can sub everything. It has pepperoni, so vegan pepperoni. It has vegan sausage. It has the vegan grounds and cheese, so it's very meaty, but
yeah.
You know, yeah, it translated beautifully. Like, it's amazing how you know, wonderful it is as a vegan version, and actually I think is much better. So so we keep some of those traditional dishes, and yeah, then we add different things. So last year I added this corn, like a cream corn type dish. Everybody loved it, so I'm making that again this year. So, you know, I would say always like trying things out if you enjoy that, you know. Mm-hmm. And then we always obviously make the traditional mashed potatoes and the mushroom gravy and the green bean casserole, you know, all those things. I would say something like that.
Mm-hmm. I love it. That sounds really easy. I mean, it's a lot, right? But Thanksgiving is a lot. Holidays are a lot, you know. Even if you only have a small number of people coming, it always seems like we just want to have all the food. We want people to enjoy as much as they can and feel this abundance, right? Yeah, so it sounds like a lot, but I think we're all kind of, many of us are doing that anyway. But despite that, it seems easy. Yeah,
I mean, you know, I think there are easier ways. Like, you could have a potluck if you wanted, you know, have everybody bring something. I like to control the menu. So I kind of just make everything. I feel like if you plan ahead, so I usually have my menu set, you know, a month ahead. Like, I know what I'm going to be making. And then as it gets closer, I'm buying the ingredients. And then making, you know, those things ahead of time as much as I can. So sometimes even 2 days ahead, I can make the desserts and they're fine. Mm-hmm. And then the day before, there's a lot of prepping.
Right.
And then the day of is usually, you know, because you don't have to get up at like a 4 a.m. like when you were making a traditional turkey. You know, you don't have to do that because this is much easier. It takes, you know, a couple hours still, but it's just, you know, you don't have to do anything. You just put it in the oven, mm-hmm. the Gardein one at least. Yeah. And I feel like if you can get, you know, some of your friends or family to help as well, to kind of, you know, chop something, or sometimes we do that, you know, if people show up at a certain time and we still have stuff to do, you know, they don't mind helping. So that helps as well. But I feel like, you know, the day off is not so much, there's a lot of like last minute things to do, just like, you know, at any get together, but we tend to try to just be more relaxed and try to enjoy it more. So, you know, we might be cooking and drinking some wine at the same time and just kind of, you know, having fun as we're doing it. So it's not like a stressful situation, but it's just more of like a fun get together instead. So
yeah. And that's what it should be, right? Like, the food, of course, is a fun and great part of it, but for a lot of people, holidays, that's when they see people they don't see all year. So why would you want to feel like you're in chaos?
Yeah.
And like stuck in the kitchen when everyone else is having a good time. That just feels like that's going to breed some resentment.
I know. And, you know, that was like my, you know, our choice to always host, because then we knew we could eat all kinds of things, you know, and we wouldn't have to deal with, like, even though I would say that because of it, like, we tended to not be invited to other Thanksgivings because we were hosting it and people just knew. And so it just kind of became, you know, this thing. So I would say, you know, as a vegan, it works out great for us because mm-hmm. we can eat everything. So, but I understand it's not like that for everyone. You know, sometimes you have to go to your family's Thanksgiving that is not vegan friendly. That can be complicated sometimes.
For sure. Yeah, that is tough. I have been, so my mom is vegan. My dad's not, but if my mom's making Thanksgiving, she makes a vegan Thanksgiving and he just joins us and he's good with it. But, you know, I certainly have been like my husband's family. There are no vegans except for him. So, when we do have the holidays that we spend with them, it is hard for me. JP hasn't been vegan as long, and he, I guess, finds it easier to kind of distance himself from those moments that can be so difficult. Mm-hmm. I still have a hard time, and you know, there's no judgment there because, you know, I ate animals up until my early 20s and continued eating animal byproducts, you know, for, you know, 14 years, 13 years beyond that.
Yeah.
But it is tough, you know, and I've had to leave the room before when they get things ready and the giant knife comes out and I can't be around that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely hard. And you have to do, you know, what's best for you
mm-hmm.
at that moment.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm grateful though. Like they totally understand and, there's no expectation that I'm clearing people's dishes or that I'm mm-hmm. washing dishes. You know, I'm happy to put away the vegan food.
Yeah.
Take care of those dishes.
Yeah.
But yeah, so at least, you know, and I hope, you know, people who are listening who feel that overwhelming just sadness when they're faced with that, it's tough and you're not alone. A mm-hmm. lot of us are dealing with it. And, you know, that's like, it almost makes me stronger in my veganism. At this point, I don't feel like I need that, you know, like I'm very rooted in who I am and my whole mission in life. But early on, I'm glad that it really rooted me more, in fact. Yeah.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah.
For sure. Because it definitely, you know, it tests you mm-hmm. in a way, you know, because you have this pressure at the same time of having family there. And then how do you deal, you know, you're in situations like, I'm feeling all these emotions right now. And can I display them? You know, it depends right. on who you're with. And so I feel like always excusing yourself from the room if you need to is a great way to kind of, you know, take a breather and
yep.
Recheck and kind of, mm-hmm. okay, I can come back out now and do whatever, you know. And that was one of the things that I did early on is like, I don't allow anybody to bring anything not vegan to my house.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, I know that's not always like that for other people and that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, some people are totally fine with like, maybe they have a potluck and people bring mixed things, but I just knew I didn't want it in my house. And so, you know, setting boundaries with being vegan is also tricky
mm-hmm.
because like, how do you tell somebody, oh, you can't bring your food here, you know? And many times you will find people understand and they're like, oh, sure, you know, I get it. And mm-hmm. other times they might not understand so much, but it's another way for you to feel that, you know, this is important to you. And like, if I did that, if I allowed it in my mind, it just feels like I'm not being true to myself. That's how it feels, like I'm betraying myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not even about me in a way. It's about, you know, I can't experience that and I can't do that to the animals or have, you know, that happen. So it just, I think the right people will, you know, will be around, the ones that understand they're the right ones for you. And yeah. the ones that are not, you know, then it is what it is, I guess, in a way.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have the same rule. Yeah. you know, as much as you may love whatever dish you'd like to bring, please don't.
Yeah.
And my thought is that there is a level of respect, I think, you know, for the animals to not allow that into your home. And if it's the only vegan meal that person ever eats their whole life, it's not going to kill them. They can go home and eat whatever they want. I'd wish they wouldn't, but, you know, we can only control ourselves. Very important lesson to learn.
Yes.
But yeah, you know, it's like, oh, why are you forcing this on me? Like, well, you wouldn't say that if I told you I had an allergy to peanuts. That's just right. As meaningful. I wouldn't have the same physical reaction, but the emotional reaction is,
yes,
you know, so.
Yes, that's a good way to put it. Yeah. The emotional reaction. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Angelica, this has been amazing, this conversation. We've gone so many places. You've reminded me of things I hadn't even thought about in so long. I love when the conversation just flows and we just kind of getting into it. I've got one more question for you.
Yes.
Tell me about your favorite hummus or your favorite way to eat hummus.
Gosh. So yes. And by the way, I really enjoy talking to you about all these things. It's been really great. So in terms of hummus, I'm not super picky about the kind of hummus, but I will say that the way I like to eat it is I like to add toppings to it. So especially if it's like a basic garlic hummus, I will add olives and chopped parsley. And just kind of use some, I don't know, like pita crackers or something, and just kind of eat it like that. I just love it. Like, it just goes so well together, and they can be a meal. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a meal. If that hotel had that meal, I probably would be really happy. But and they vary, so sometimes it varies the toppings, but and I will say also chocolate hummus is really good with strawberries.
Yeah,
I don't eat it as much as I would like. Sometimes forget about it, but when I get it, it's one of my favorite things too. So I would say between those two.
Oh, that's so good. I I'm still learning to like olives.
Oh, really? Oh,
wow. It's so funny. That's a food that I think so many people feel it's very, they love it or they hate it. And they're very strong on either side. Oh, but every once in a while, I'll have something that has like maybe an olive touched it. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of good. And then I'll try an olive and go, oh, that's too much. So I'm still working my way through that. But I love hummus on pita with pickles, like a nice, like half sour pickle. So it's still kind of fresh, like a cucumber, but has a little pickliness to it with some fresh cracked pepper on top and some artichoke hearts. Oh my goodness.
Yes. You know, I think there is something about like the acidity of the olives or the acidity of the pickle, you know, and sometimes even like pickled onions can be a great topping, you know. I actually had once hummus, this was before I was vegan though, hummus with honey on it, and it was like a Spanish restaurant, and it was pretty amazing. I haven't tried to make it with, I'm sure maple syrup would work perfectly for it, but that was another way that was very unique, I thought, for hummus. At least I hadn't seen that before, and it was amazing. So another way to try. I might have to do that now that I remember. It's been a while.
That like kind of that sweet and savory contrast. I never would have thought, like, chocolate hummus, I'm like, that makes sense to me. Drizzling some like sweetener on it, I never would have thought of though.
Yeah, it was really, really good. So highly recommend it.
Angelica, thank you so, so much. All of your contact info will be in the show notes so people can connect with you and learn about all, even more about all the amazing things that you're doing in our vegan world.
Thank you so much, Kimberly. So excited that I got to talk to you, and look forward to seeing you around.
Yeah, thank you.
Welcome back. While I was editing this episode, I had to stop when Angelica was walking us through planning for Thanksgiving. As I was so inspired, I wrote up my Thanksgiving menu, then went back to editing. In the show notes, I've also included a link to an article on Chef Chloe's Thanksgiving menu, which includes a golden gravy. You always need a good gravy recipe. And the pumpkin tiramisu recipe Angelica mentioned. To connect with Angelica, visit her website at greenluxuryliving.com, follow her on Instagram at greenluxuryliving, and on LinkedIn at greenluxuryliving. I hope you found this episode helpful and inspiring. Please subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. And if you're loving it, please give Did You Bring the Hummus a 5-star rating and leave a review. It's an easy way to keep supporting the show. Be sure to share these episodes with your friends. If you're finding something good here, they will too. If you're a vegan or know a vegan who would be a great fit for the podcast, follow the Be a Guest link in the show notes. Fill out the quiz and I'll be in touch. I also have a new freebie on my website. Sign up for my mailing list and get a PDF of 3 amazing vegan recipes. Follow me on Facebook and Instagram at Did You Bring the Hummus? And visit my website, didyoubringthehummus.com, for more information about me, updates on what I'm working on, new podcast episodes, and all things vegan. Finally, I would love to hear from you. What do you need help with? Is there a topic you want to hear covered on a future episode? DM me on Instagram or send me an email at didyoubringthehummus@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.